For some people, all they need to know about how life evolved on Earth is contained in the first chapter of the Bible. Others are more comfortable with a scientific explanation like the one proposed by Charles Darwin. In 1996, Pope John Paul II seemed to embrace the peaceful coexistence of science and religion when he wrote that evolution is more than just a hypothesis. But a recent article by a prominent Catholic archbishop has raised new questions about the Church's attitude toward evolution. The article suggested evolution in the sense of a common ancestry might be true, but evolution in the neo-Darwinian sense, an unguided, unplanned process of random variation and natural selection, is not. So where does the Church stand? Well, joining me now to help sort out this question is Edward J. Larson. He's the Herman E. Talmadge Chair of Law and Richard B. Russell Professor of American History at the University of Georgia in Athens, Georgia, and he won a Pulitzer Prize for his book Summer for the Gods, The Scopes Trial and America's Continuing Debate Over Science and Religion. He joins me by phone from Italy. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
And thank you for joining us from Italy. And I would just like to remind our listeners that we'd be interested in hearing their thoughts as we discuss this. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. So I guess the question begins with what Pope John Paul II meant or didn't mean in 1996 when he said that evolution was more than just a theory.
Well, he delivered a message to what is called the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which is a elite body of Catholic scientists, an honorary association created 80 years ago to advise the Pope and distinguished Catholic scholars and to encourage research. And they were having a special meeting, their 50th anniversary meeting, which was focused, 60th anniversary meeting, and it was focused on the issue of evolution. And the Pope made a very clearly worked out statement. He made a message to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which is, I'm only stressing this because the recent letter from the Archbishop of Vienna, which raised question about it, referred to this as a mere letter, which it really isn't a mere letter. But what the Pope was doing there was trying to set the framework for the debate within the Catholic Church. And in that, he said, as you commented, that that evolution is more than just a hypothesis. In fact, he stresses that a whole variety of different expertise, what he's talking about is paleontology and genetics and all these different fields, have come together to demonstrate this evidence of common descent. Now, where he breaks off is he said that the line that these members of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, these Catholics, should consider as important is the human soul. And this picks up on statements of previous popes who have said that it is fine for Catholics to research and study and accept common descent, that is, the bodies, animals, plants have a common ancestor, even the human body, but where they want to draw the line is that the human soul is a special divine creation for God. So you'd sort of think of it, the common way people think about it is that maybe the human body evolved from apes, but at some point in the process, God endowed that evolved body with a human soul that was created in the likeness of God. The Pope stressed that point, and that made humans special, not their bodies, their souls. And that was the thrust of this statement, that evolution's okay, but the human soul is something special.
So help me out here. If we are clear about what the Roman Catholic Church position is on evolution, how does that inform the debate in this country about teaching evolution in schools, or does it at all, or is it just a small side part of the discussion?
Well, the Catholic Church seemed to be clear on where it stood, but this new letter that comes out, or the op-ed piece written by the Archbishop of Vienna, who apparently is a disciple of the new pope. And, of course, this letter came out just after the new pope got his job.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to cut back considerably on what John Paul was saying and previous popes, because where John Paul was drawing the line on the human soul, and that allowed for all sorts of study of the evolutionary process of the human body and, of course, of all other, everything to do with all other sorts of plants and animals. This new letter has an entirely different thrust. Now, it claims it's clarifying this earlier letter, but it's talking about entirely different things. This new letter, this new op-ed piece, talks about the reality of design in nature, that the Catholic Church supports design in nature, and seems to step back. It says, oh, there may be common descent, but the whole of nature reflects an intelligent design. That would have a major impact on the debate in America, because the issue that is rising in the debate in America, and of course we're thinking about very Catholic states like Pennsylvania, where Dover, Pennsylvania is battling over the issue of intelligent design, where the Pope's message, I would have thought, would have cut against the intelligent design crowd and said only the soul's separate. This new message seems to offer support to those who are pushing for the teaching of intelligent design as an alternative to a naturalistic evolutionary process for at least the physical aspects of nature.
So, and I think it's worth pointing out here that the letter, the New York Times says that the letter from the cardinal, I guess he was from Vienna, and I don't know if I can pronounce his name properly, Schönborn, is that right? I think it might be. Anyway, the letter talking about this change in policy was delivered to the New York Times by a public affairs company that was hired by the Discovery Institute, which has been very much behind the intelligent design teaching as an alternative to teaching of creation. So it sounds like, I mean, I don't know who came first, but I presume that this is a message that resonates with that desire on their part.
Well, this new letter could have been written right by the Discovery Institute, this new op-ed piece, where the Pope's message, the official message of the Pope to the Pontifical Academy back in about 6 years ago from the Pope, that was a very different letter. That, I should stress, speaks that there are a variety of forms of evolution. They're reductionist, they're materialistic, they're theistic forms of evolution. But it wasn't speaking at all to the issue of intelligent design. It said that evolution, common descent, is more than just a theory, and then it doesn't say anything about intelligent design. It says that's an area for science. Those things let science decide. The church doesn't want to interfere unless it affects a true teaching of the church. And then it says that the only teaching of the church at issue here, or the teaching of the church at the issue here, is the human soul. Now, that's the sort of split that the National Academy of Sciences in America, which it can live with easily, because they have made the statement that that evolution says nothing about God, it says nothing about the soul. The science is limited to the studying of the natural world, and the soul and God are part of the supernatural world, and that's not within the realm of science. So the Pope's letter fit within the outlines of the debate endorsed by the National Academy of Science in America and the AAAS and all the basic scientific bodies, where this new op-ed piece doesn't at all fit with that approach. And so this new while the earlier letter, if anything, served to quiet the debate, the public debate over what's happening in public schools, this new op-ed piece, I'm sure, is being waved in Dover, Delaware, and other places to help inflame that issue.
Okay. Well, let's ask our listeners to join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255, and let's take a call from Vance in Oklahoma City. Vance, welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you very much. My question, and I'm a Catholic, and I did read Archbishop Schönborn's article in the New York Times. But my thinking, and what I gathered from his article, is that he's making a criticism as to you know, the methodology of science, namely this, that the church will never buy into an ontological materialism, okay? Because the ground of being is love in the church. It's supernatural love. And that's what the in other words, God is the ground of being, not matter. And I think what he's trying to say is that with regard to the common ancestor hypothesis of Darwinism, there's a it's not necessarily been shown to such an extent as to satisfy contemporary and well-accepted criteria of what constitutes the scientific. The church isn't against science. The church is for good science. And one of the best philosophers of science in the last century was Karl Popper, who taught that for there to be really good science, it has to be potentially falsifiable. Now,
Vance, let me get Ed Larson to respond to some of this. And before he even starts, I wonder if, Ed Larson, you could explain what ontological materialism is so we know what we're arguing about.
Sure, okay.
What the caller is raising, and he's raising a valid point, an important point. The issue is God involved in the process, or is it purely a physical, material process? And if science is limiting itself to the physical, is it potentially leaving out the spiritual? And the spiritual could be the true answer. Now, where the two letters differ is, the Pope didn't speak to the issue of intelligent design. That was one of the important omissions in the Pope's letter, which does not then disagree with the caller.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't speak to the issue of materialism. He did speak to the issue. He focused on the issue of reductionism, and reductionism is reducing everything, which is different than materialism. Materialism, if you've got materialism, and you can also have spiritualism, and they can exist side by side. Reductionism is you reduce everything to matter in motion, nothing spiritual. And the Pope's letter says the answer can't be total reductionism because the soul is a divine creation, and that's where the church is taking its stand. Now, what the cardinal's letter, he's the Archbishop of Vienna, and he's also a cardinal. What his letter said was he was taking a position on the in the middle. He was saying the soul was divinely created, but then he was saying in the middle, on the ground, while we accept common descent, the common ancestry might be true. That common ancestry, even that, must reflect design in nature. God is involved in the physical reality. The letter repeatedly stresses, or the op-ed piece,
okay,
reaffirms the teaching of the church of the reality of design in nature, and that's what is the main emphasis of Discovery Institute.
Okay, Ed Larson, I have to remind people that they're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Wow, that was a complicated set of reasoning, but I suppose that this is a difficult thing because we're close to the very fiber of religious beliefs here, and that's why it's so important to try to be straight about who's saying what.
Well, and that's where the caller was picking up. I mean, he was resonating on what the Archbishop is saying, because the Pope was taking the absolute bottom line, that the soul has to be created. Now, and he didn't speak to the middle ground. And now the Archbishop and the caller were speaking to that middle ground, that it's more than just the soul, it's all of nature reflects divine design. And therefore, if there was common descent, the common descent was done by a form of God actively designing the evolutionary process.
Well, let's see if we have time for one more call. Joanna from Washington, D.C., welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question may be a little broader than just this part about what the Catholic Church is saying.
Uh-huh.
But I was just wondering if people who don't believe in evolution are saying that, for example, my question is really about new bacteria and treatment-resistant bacteria and viruses.
In other words, how do you explain the appearance of those things if
yeah,
they're not specified?
I mean, is God actively creating those now?
Okay. Well, Joanna, just
the old bacteria don't work
in anymore? The interest of giving our guest Ed Larson a chance to answer that before we run out of time, I'm going to let him go ahead and answer. Thanks for the call.
You sound like T.H. Huxley did 120 years ago, where he said God had if God designed the world, then he had an inordinate affection for beetles, because there's so many beetles designed, and why would there be all these bacteria? Generally, how creationists, now we're talking about a subset, creationists deal with that is accepting that there is a process of microevolution, that similarly related species do evolve, such as Darwin's finches or these bacteria, but that anything big has to be specifically designed. Then you get to another level of creationist, such as Michael Behe in Darwin's Black Box, that God comes in and designs some big changes every now and then. But otherwise, there's evolution. So what you've got is you've got a range of views from people who believe that God created everything 10,000 years ago, every different species 10,000 years ago, to those that believe every basic sort of kind, and there's been microevolution, to those that he just over a very long period of time intervenes periodically in the creation process, to the view that was reflected in the Pope's letter to the Academy of Sciences, that God could let the whole process go except the human soul.
Okay, Edward Larson, we have to end it there, and I'd like to thank you. Ed Larson is Herman Talmadge Chair of Law and Richard Russell Professor of American History at the University of Georgia. Thanks for joining us today. This program is produced by Annette Heist and Charles Bergquist. Our intern is Todd Neal, and he leaves us today. We wish him well in his future efforts. If you'd like to write to us, you can send a letter to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. For internet mail, you can use the address scifry@npr.org. Check out sciencefriday.com for more information and links to today's program. You can listen to past editions of Science Friday online or take them with you from the iTunes Music Store. For NPR News in New York, I'm Joe Palca. ¶¶